You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know what to say. You know, I think the front office have to do what they have to do. You know, and we show up every day trying to get better as a player, to play hard. And we can't control, even if we like it or not, they're going to make their move. And we just have to be here and play hard, I guess.
Go ahead. She obviously played very hard, played passionately, didn't get the results. Did you kind of feel for him what he was going through?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Gomez is a great player. He has a great career. I mean, he wasn't having a good year, obviously, but I think at least he tried hard, you know. And I mean, everybody in the club did try hard. I didn't feel good for him because, you know, anything was going good for him this year, he knew it, and he felt bad. And I tried to keep it, you know, in a good move to go out there and help the team. You know, things happen, and I mean, I don't think this is the end of his career. I think he's going to play long enough in the league, and he's going to keep doing what he was doing before this year.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. And no A.J. Hoffman today. He's taking the day off, but he'll be back tomorrow. It's at Pac-Man Joel with a C-K, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour. Pretty much all over the place. So that was Jose Altuve, who seemed a little bit upset that Carlos Gomez has gone the way of all flesh. Is that correct, John?
Yeah, and if you watched the video, and that was courtesy of Brian McTaggart, if you watch the video, it kind of looks like he's going to cry.
Really?
I'm safe to say that Gomez was probably his best friend on the team.
Como se dice... My best friend just died in Espanol. I'm sure that it's mayor amigo muerte something or other. My Spanish sucks.
Call anyway. My wife. She'll help you.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be a... I mean, everything Altuve said, that's great and fine and dandy. And we've heard all these different things about how tight a clubhouse they've had and how tight a team they have. But you got to perform on the field. I mean, look, there are guys... I'm sure their equipment guys are great dudes, too, and everybody loves them. But, I mean, when it comes down to it, ever since he's been here, I mean, he's been a bust. He just hasn't hit. And they said he's got a, you know... I love on the television side, the Root Sports guys, and I think they're great at what they do, but listening to those guys do the games, and they start talking about, well, you know, he's got a really strong arm, it's just not really accurate. So then what good is he? I mean, everybody said he was a great defensive outfielder and had a great arm and did all these things, and, well, I mean, good luck doing them somewhere else, because he just wasn't doing them here.
I respectfully disagree on the Astros announcers. I think those guys are...
Who don't you like?
Below average. I don't like any of them. Not a single one.
I think Bill Brown is very, very steady. And I think Bill Brown is what a play-by-play is supposed to be. I just think it's tough when you take an ex-player and try and make them into a broadcaster.
It doesn't work. And I used to think Ashby was really good, but he's been ever since I've been able to watch him again, I have to mute the TV.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't listen to the radio, though?
No, I don't listen to the radio at all. When I listen to games on the radio, I listen to them on XM, so I listen to them major league broadcast.
Well, and that's my thing. And having been in the chair to kind of oversee and do the things behind the scenes with talent and broadcasters and things too. When you talk about ex-players, everybody seems to think that you can just slide into that chair, put a headset on, and it's all going to come to you real easy. And it's an art form. And I think that in Ash's case, one of the things that he runs into is the fact that he's done both. He's done play-by-play, he's done color, and he ends up doing both on the broadcast, and it just it's a tough mix.
The guys, the radio guys, I just can't even listen to. I gave up on them a year ago. Nobody noticed until they got good again. And now you're like, John, can we do all bumper music of you doing covers today? Is that
possible? I'm all for that.
Do we have enough?
No, we don't, because I've only done like three.
Okay. Well, then do them live.
Oh, God.
Just do them live and sing over them, sing over whatever bump music you play.
It's kind of hard without him having some alcohol in him. But
I could try.
You could do it. You could give it a shot.
But it'd be a little distracting when you guys are in segment and I'm trying to take you out and I'm singing.
Well, no, I know how to work with you. I know how to handle this. I'm a professional. I can do this. Do we have any updates on how far this guy has gotten yet? Has he gotten to 30?
I don't know. I'm just,
He can't have gotten to 30 yet. He's going like, they've got something above his head now. This is awesome.
Well, I think they're taking out a whole big pane
of glass to make sure that if he gets too far.
That's it. It's going to be under 30. I'm going to win this. Anyway, if you don't know what we're talking about, then you're probably not on Twitter and there at TV, but some idiot is climbing Trump Tower. And we just have a little bet on the show here. Over under 30. I took the under. Let's squeeze in some phone calls. Cole, you're on the Blitz.
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you, man.
Yeah, I was just wondering, what are the odds if Barry Warner and Tiffany Terrell hosted a radio show? What are the odds it would be considered the worst radio show of all time?
I think that would be awesome.
Well, from a voice differential standpoint, that would be entertaining, to say the least.
How about a sex tape with those two? That'd be even better.
Oh, wow. See, that's just, now I threw up in the back of my mouth a little bit. That was, oh boy. And I don't know Tiffany, but I know Barry.
But if you're on 45, oh man, that
I know that voice.
There's
yeah.
so much, there's so many possibilities there.
There's the helium.
Good God, I.
What was Howie Mandel's character, Little Bobby? You know that one?
Yeah.
I can actually do that one for you, but you know, and I don't need like Jong. I don't need the alcohol, but
Jason, you're on the Blitz. Go,
sports guys.
Sports to you, man. What's up, buddy?
Hey, real quick, Fred. I don't know if you covered it on Monday's show, but I was curious. Did you see John Oliver over the weekend? And if you had any comments to that, I kind of want to pick your brain on that because I thought it was a really good piece. And then second thing was. So, I know it's probably been asked before, but what are the odds that the Longhorns have a better college football record than the Aggies this year? I'll hang up and listen.
I think, yeah, we've gotten that one a lot. I think I've gone 55-45 Longhorns, but I'm also on record as I think both those teams are going to be better than people realize.
I do too, but do you say what you're saying and go Longhorns way because of the conference?
Yeah, I think the Longhorns have an easier schedule. Even,
I agree.
Even with Notre Dame on there, when you look at A&M, just the SEC West schedule plus UCLA. Having said that, I think this is going to be a better football team than it was last year. Now I don't know what that's going to translate to record wise, but I honestly feel like Charlie Strong has the kind of team he wants. If he can just get some quarterback play out of those guys, I think you see a big jump out of them. And I think both those teams are going to be pretty good. If people were laughing at me for saying I think the Aggies could get the 8 wins, I think the Longhorns, to me, could win 9 or 10. And you know what? Could be completely wrong, but I think this is the year they turn it around, and I have a lot of faith that Kevin Sumlin's going to get A&M. You know, they're going to start trending back upward. Yeah, 8-3-2. Don't sleep on them. Exactly. Oh, boy.
I mean, I'm totally in agreement with you, but I think that it's amazing to me that Charlie Strong hasn't gotten a quarterback with the fact that you bring everything to the table of UT and the money and the facilities and the reputation and everything, and he just can't get it right at quarterback. But if he gets one, that conference alone in that schedule says they should be just fine, and they should win games. You could be A&M and be loaded and actually play better than you've played in the last 3 years. And if you lose a tight game or two, you finish third in the conference. I mean, look, LSU, Alabama, they've got that's tough.
And since we're not sleeping on teams, Auburn, I think is a team you can't ignore. I mean, that I think they're going to have a good year. The schedules are the schedule's very tough for A&M, but I expect them to win some games they're not supposed to.
I got to believe Mazzoni's going to make a difference there, don't you?
Yeah, I do, too. Them Longhorns can really score the ball. Let's grab Justin real quick. What's up, Justin?
What's going on, guys? Sports.
Sports, man.
Hey, I got two for y'all. What are the odds Brock Osweiler hits 3,000 yards this season. And then I was in a draft the other night. I saw Lamar Miller was a top 10 running back. What are the odds he finishes this season as a top 10 fantasy running back?
Oh, as a top 15 running back or a top 10 running back? I didn't hear him.
Oh, top 10.
Oh, well, as far as Osweiler and 3,000 yards, that's a pretty low bar for anybody. So I'm going to go, assuming he stays healthy, 85% chance. Miller, top 10 back. I would be concerned about that because I think they're going to use him a lot, more than they did in Miami. But
can he take the beating?
I also think there'll be some game plans where they use Alfred Blue instead, or where they use Jonathan Grimes, and they use him in the passing game. I'd say top 10 is, I'd give him a 70% chance of that, but I'm thinking bottom end of the top 10.
I think he's got to stay healthy for one, and he's got to get a lot of yards out of the backfield.
And back to the John Oliver thing. Yes, I did see that. I thought it was fantastic. Stick around. We'll get to that at some point. As a matter of fact, I kind of want to bounce some things off Jerome Solomon when he's on with us about that. And next segment, we're going to tell you the next two finalists for Rock the Mic. John, are you excited?
Sure.
Do you feel good about these?
They're good. They're not bad.
Do you want me to come look at them and make sure?
No. You're good.
Okay.
I got it.
All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. No AJ today. He'll be back tomorrow. Joe Blank filling in. So far, not bad.
I'm trying, man.
Solid C+.
I feel like I've let you down. I got to bring more to it.
Well, I just wanted to hear the story about, you know, James Harden bringing a Shetland pony to his room, and you wouldn't tell it to me, so.
Yeah. If I knew it, I'd tell you that one.
Well, okay, maybe I made it up, but I was just looking for, you know, just trying to find something that would be entertaining. All right, we have something very important to announce now. Zhong Li is going to tell you the next two finalists for Rock the Mic. We're halfway there. Two of you who participated last Friday are about to be announced. And one thing I will point out, if you did not make it, give it another try next this Friday at Wingstop, Beechnut and Hillcroft. Some of you, frankly, we couldn't hear you. And you can't pick you if we can't hear you. So give it another try. Anyway, Zhong Li, take it over, sir.
And the two that we're going to move on to the finals are Holly, the one that you liked, and Todd. And these people did not give last names in the video, so I cannot provide the last names. But Todd, there was only one Todd in the competition, and Holly, the Eagles fan Holly.
Eagles fan Holly, okay.
Yeah, because there were two Hollies.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. Well, we're going to need last names at some point, guys. I hate to break it.
I think Michelle has the last names, and I'll let her know.
Oh, okay. Well, I did not. I think I talked to Todd, too, but I know I talked to Holly for a little bit afterwards. She knows her sports, man. So, congratulations to Todd and Holly. Holly, the Eagles fan, not other Holly, who I don't remember talking to. But we are now at four. That includes, who are the two from last week? I'm old and I drink a lot. Trey and the guy who finished second last year, who I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I can't remember his name either.
Yeah. Sorry, I apologize, but I'm terrible about this. I tell people this all the time. If I get your name the first time I meet you, I got it, right?
Yeah.
If I don't, I'm never going to get it because I'll never ask you because I'm too embarrassed. So if
you bud or what's up, dude? Or
amigo. Amigo's a common one. That works really well.
All right.
Hey, man, what's up? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you sound excited and you know him, but. And what's funny is since I've mentioned that on the air, I've had a couple people say, the name's John. You know, it's okay.
They get a little butthurt.
Well, not really. It's just that. But
they know that you don't remember their name?
I mean, you meet so many people. You know how this business is.
For sure.
And
The problem is when they act like they're your neighbor and you guys just sat out on a Friday night on the driveway drinking beers last week and they're like all into it. And
The worst is when you're having conversations with people about conversations you had with them the week before and you don't even remember seeing them or wherever you were because, you know.
It's a good challenge though, to try and make it through the conversation without giving up the goods that you didn't.
I always pull it off as though I know what I'm talking about, but
yeah.
Reality is I don't. All right, one more thing I wanted to add today. So,
just one.
Well, on the segment before we get to Jerome, we'll grab a couple more phone calls. But I have taken it on myself, along with the current future ex-wife, to try every single steak night in downtown Houston, so that I could tell the people about it. And John, last week you did Front Porch. You liked it, right?
Yeah, we go to Front Porch every now and then.
Which one? Midtown or Washington?
Midtown.
Okay.
Yeah, for the record, this is Midtown, Downtown, and then Montrose. That's it. Not going to Washington, none of those places.
Okay.
I have to be able to walk, or it has to be a $5 get me ride. That's my standard.
Okay.
Front Porch, really good Tuesday nights. Thursday nights, we've talked about Maple Leaf has a great one. They also have trivia, though, and it's really loud. That's my only beef about that, but the steaks are terrific.
Is there anything other than hockey going on there?
No, during hockey season, they always have something, but that's, the Canadian Club goes there, and it's cool.
It's a sweet bar.
That's a cool bar, yeah. We go there to watch hockey a lot, especially, like, World Juniors and that stuff that my wife's into, because she watches weird things. But, Michael says he's on the 22nd floor. Last Wednesday did the Christian's Tailgate downtown. That one was very good. You know, Coaches also has one on Wednesdays. I have not done St. Dane's on Monday. That's next on my list. But last night, for the first time, I did Griff's Steak Night. And I have to say, one of the most amazing steaks I've ever had.
Really?
Yes.
Griff's, so, I know from St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, that place has been there forever.
Yep.
And that one I actually have to either bite to or, like I said, take a get me.
Mm-hmm.
But
Griff's is kind of like Cheers.
Everybody, a little bit. Although, you know what? Griff's is one of those places I go and nobody knows me. It's kind of cool. I can't go anyplace else.
But, I mean, if you're a regular, if you start showing up there a couple times, everybody knows you.
Well, we show up pretty regularly, but okay. It's not like, I mean, we've got about five other places in the rotation. But we go about twice a month. So I don't think I'd call us regulars. Well, I'm going to be a regular for that steak night. So parking sucks, I'll tell you that, but, and it was really crowded inside last night. You couldn't get a seat, so get there early, but I highly recommend it. So
good tip.
We will have I'll have another one for you next week, but I'm going to do my best to hit every single one of these so I can do rankings. Sid says, need to hit him up with the Canadian go-tos, a buddy, guy, and friend. Hashtag forgot your name. Oh, geez, Sid.
Don't you know? No, you betcha. I'm from up there, so I can tell you a little something or two.
Yeah, you're not too far from...
I'm from a suburb of Chicago called Milwaukee. Milwaukee.
Well, obviously, that's a reason there's a pack thing in your name.
There's a lot of reasons for that, but yes.
Let's grab Miles. What's up, Miles?
Sports, guys.
Sports to you, man.
Just to let you know, under the volcano in Bissonnette, amazing steak, great chimichurri sauce. The question I had was, I was checking Bovada's prop bets the other day, and I noticed the Saints over-under for games one in the season is 7. They made quite a few acquisitions in the offseason, including drafting the number one defensive lineman. They picked up Fairley. Bird's healthy for the first time. I'm thinking if they're at least in the 20s in defense, they're going to go 8-9 wins this year. I was wondering, what are the odds you guys think they'll go above the 7?
I'm the wrong guy to ask because I always overvalue the Saints. It's the same thing AJ does with the Ravens. You asked me about the Saints. I was like, I think they're going to be better this year because...
Is that your team?
No, I just have tons of respect for Sean Payton and Drew Brees, and also because I scored one of my biggest scores ever when I picked them when I bet them to win the Super Bowl the year they won it before the season at 17-1.
Wow!
But I think they'll be better. I think the Panthers regress. I don't know what the Falcons to me are kind of the wild card in the thing.
Exactly.
Because they could either be back to being good or they could be crappy again. Yeah. I'm kind of leaning towards crappy. And I think the Bucs are better, but they're still not anything to write home about. So I think 9-7, 8-8 is very doable.
I think definitely I'll take the over on 7, but I agree with you totally. The Falcons are the wild card, and I think Matt Ryan's just never – if Matt Ryan – I saw him here really up close when they played the Texans too. And, man, you put any pressure on that guy at all, and he is just – ready to press the panic button, and he's never really impressed me, and he gets so much love from everybody. I'm not a big Matt Ryan guy, and I think that their receiving corps are on the way down, except for one guy. So I think besides Julio Jones, they got some issues, and I definitely think that the Saints, as long as you got Drew Brees, as you said, I mean,
unless he's starting to slow down, which concerns me, but I think he'll have some more weapons. Brandon Cooks is a must invest in fantasy football for me this year. I think he's going to have a big year. But I like the Saints, but it's kind of like that. That's one you always have to take with a grain of salt with me because I almost always think they're going to be better than what they are. A couple things. Orion says you got to do community bar steak night. One of the best for sure. That's on my list. I did it once about a year ago, but I have to admit it was one of those nights where I'd had way too much to drink, so I don't remember anything about the steak. So I will be going back. That's what we're trying to do these. We're trying to do these where we actually don't drink anything and just kind of try out what the steak night atmosphere
is
like.
So your palate is clean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we have one beer with it.
By the way, I mean, forever and a day, we've been going to the Volcano on Bissonnette. I mean, back in the day, that was where everybody met after Rockets games and hung out. But he called it Under the Volcano. I don't know if that's just like a new ownership thing or whatever, but...
Where is that? Is that by...
on the way into Rice Village off of Bissonnette.
Okay, yeah, that sounds familiar. I've probably been there at some point. But no, I am limiting this specifically to downtown, midtown, and Montrose.
Montrose, you said.
Yeah, but not deep into Montrose, just kind of on the edge of Montrose. So
that you're not hitting South Beach, you're hitting...
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, when we come back, we will talk to our buddy Jerome Solomon. And I want to talk about this John Oliver thing a little bit. And I don't know if you got a chance to see it.
I did.
It's one of those things that, as a former... print guy, This is something I've been talking about for a while, and Jong and I actually, and I promised Jong I would get this done while I was on vacation, and I didn't because I actually took vacation, but I'm going to get some stuff to him tomorrow. We're going to do an audiobook on, and I'm going to get Jerome in it and a couple other people, and John Oliver's a guy I'm going to try to interview for it, that frankly, I think, and I've talked about this before, but the death of print journalism has led us to a place where without an independent media, which we no longer have, and what's left of it is dying, and I think John Oliver did a great job of talking about why and how who's owning these things now. And I mean, we are leading to the end of democracy, and I really believe that because it's as simple as Donald Trump saying, the Washington Post, you can't cover me. Well... that's happening all over the place on a huge scale. And it started with sports, and that's why I blame myself, is because a lot of the things we did caused this. But I think long-term we're in real trouble here, and I think it's important that we talk about it, and that's why we're going to do an audiobook about it. But and I promise Jong I will have him the outline tomorrow and everybody we need to contact. But Joel, you don't happen to have a used vehicle you're not using anymore, do you?
Not yet, but I may so shortly.
Well, see, here you go. If it doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. Maybe you had one that was out in your garage and then the floods came and you're like, oh man, I was going to fix this thing up. I was going to turn this into a sick ride, but it's a mess now. I don't really want to deal with it. Well, you can donate it. Donate it to my good friends at Houston Cars for Kids. Here's what they're going to do. It doesn't matter what it is. Could be a motorcycle, could be a tractor, could be a forklift, a boat, you name it. They don't care. They'll come, they'll tow it free of charge, and they'll take care of all the paperwork, which is pretty cool because you don't have to do anything. And several Blitzers have told me they did this. Said, oh, yeah, it was easy, man. They just came, I signed something, boom, gone. They took it away. And if you donate today, tell them you heard about it on the Blitz and that you want to help, you're going to get Astros tickets. That simple. That money goes to help kids at Houston Can Academies, which you've heard me talk about before. But school's about to start, guys. And here's a great chance for you to get that tax deduction in a few months. Really do something good to help these kids because... a lot of these kids, really good kids that had to drop out of other schools for other reasons, Well, Houston Kent Academy's working around him, giving him other opportunities, whether they had to get jobs or whether it's pregnancy or something like that. They take care of him. They give him everything they need to succeed. And so many of them go on to do great, great things. And it's so easy for you to help. So you can get rid of something you don't need anymore that you're not using. Get a tax deduction. Get Astros tickets. Feel good about yourself. And do something great for a fantastic school at Houston Kent Academies. All you have to do, give them a call, 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
Today was a good day.
ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Are the cops about to get this guy? Looks like it. Anyway, hey, one quick thing. I mentioned the Maple Leaf. They actually have food there now, and they have poutine and with real cheese curds. So if you're a poutine fan, that's your place to go. Which
you said cheese curds. Now, that's right down my alley.
Well, yeah, because most of the poutine that they do around here.
Got him.
Oh, they got him. Awesome.
Smash and grab right there. Oh, smash the window out and grab him.
Why are they grabbing the cop from behind? They're trying to keep him from falling?
They do not look happy.
Oh, no, he's in trouble. All right, let's go to Jerome Solomon, who I know is watching this just like the rest of us are. What's up, Jerome?
No, I'm not watching it because I knew from the get-go it was going to be a disappointing ending. I mean, if the guy isn't going to take a dive off, or if they reached out for him and pushed him over, because that's the only good ending, right?
Well, he went under 30 floors, so that's a good ending for me. That was that's correct. He went under 30 floors. I took the under. I set the number at 30 and took the under.
No, so. I would have gotten in on a bet on the over under on how many bones were broken. That's more entertaining to me. This time thing is wasted. I mean, look, if you want to go up there and look like a fool and risk your life, then you might as well die. I mean, you know, right?
Oh, that's what I was hoping for. Yeah, to me, it's one thing if you fall off a Ferris wheel. You're not expecting that, right? That's a bad thing. This, you're doing this, you should fall.
Yeah, so. The accidents are sad and horrific and all of that. When you willingly risk your life on a stupid stunt, or it doesn't even matter what his reasoning is because it was really stupid, you should go ahead and have your life taken. I mean, it'd be easier for us all.
Plus, it'd be entertaining for all of us to see you fall that far.
And quite entertaining. It is actually kind of sad that, you know, in 2016 now, I mean, think about it, Fred. I mean, you know, at your age, you're a lot older than the rest of us. But you went probably 40 years without ever seeing a real, true, live death. And probably in the last 5 years, you've seen more deaths on video and recording than you saw your whole life of first 40 years. But
actually, I saw three or four people die before videos.
Person.
Yeah, in person. Yeah.
Well, that's
actually five or six now that I think about it.
You had that gangster life. But, you know, in terms of seeing it on TV or anything, but now it's like everywhere. We see people die all over the place that we literally root for them. It's a sad statement on society. But this guy's one of those. It wouldn't even have been sad.
I'll ask. I don't know if you got a chance to watch it. If you saw the John Oliver bit on Print Journalism Sunday, which I thought was fantastic and gets to something we've mentioned before, but I was curious if you had an opportunity to see that yet and if you had any thoughts.
Yeah, I did, and he really did nail it. I mean, he's his show is pretty hit or miss, and the bits go on way too long, generally speaking, but this one was hitting right at home, and especially since it's in our wheelhouse, and we've been saying the same things over and over and over, and it just continues to get worse. That's the problem. It's not about there aren't great journalists out there, and I don't even think it's about great journalism doesn't work. It's just a matter of the people who the great journalists work for don't give a damn about journalism. They're just all about the absolute bottom dollar, and that's fine. That's what business is about, but journalism at certain levels, it's about more than just money. And unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever be able to go back to where it's not about money. And if it's not about money, then it is about, you know, put the whatever clicks on there. So you'll see Johnny Manziel stories all over the Chronicle because Johnny Manziel clicks. It's just that simple. J.J. Watt as a fireman today, that clicks. That's huge news in the city of Houston as opposed to anything that's really important. And it's a sad state, but that's the world we live in. That's what you do about it.
And slideshows. Don't forget slideshows. But
every time you get to one, there's a huge slideshow, and it's ridiculous too. And I try to tell them that it bugs me and bothers me, but they're like, hey man, people click on them, and you can't even argue it. People click on them, and that's just the way it is.
Well, and I do think there's a way to fix it, which we'll save for the audiobook, which hopefully we'll have a nice long interview with you on. But before we get off this topic, because I do think it's important that there are still people out there doing real journalism, and there are still really good journalists out there, and it's important that all of us kind of keep letting people know that that's going on, and that's why I like having you on the show, because you're still a real journalist.
Definitely. And the thing that people get upset about, a lot of the things that they get upset about are fostered in this atmosphere where there isn't a lot of great journalism. This mess at Baylor, for instance, I mean, it's because nobody was covering the team. nobody cared. We just weren't paying attention like we used to. And when I started covering the Big 12, every one of the so-called Big 5 papers were all over Baylor, even though Baylor was the worst team in the league football-wise and, worst program across the board. But San Antonio, Austin, Dallas, Fort Worth, and Houston all had people assigned to cover Baylor. Now, none of them do. So it's left just to the little newspaper in Waco. And as we see, the police department in Waco doesn't give a damn about holding Baylor criminals to the fire. So, the newspaper is more of a partner with the sports department and athletic department than it is, doing true journalism. And that's how this thing got to fester as long as it did. And we'll see more and more of that.
And that's kind of what spurred me on to dive into this audiobook version of this, is because the reality is, if that had happened back when we were doing this, then we would have sent Danny Robbins over there. The Morning News would have sent an investigative guy. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram would have. Even if it had just come out, there would have been four or five people doing what Outside the Lines is half-assed doing right now.
It would have been all over. And Jenny Dahl Creech in the Chronicle has been working on a story from there. She's talked to more than a dozen victims/alleged victims, women who were assaulted at Baylor over the years. And she's been working on this a long time in the story. It should have been out a long time ago. And I've been irked that it hasn't come out yet. Hopefully it'll be in this coming Sunday's paper. But it's like, it's like, the story's kind of dead now. These women are still alive. These women are still dealing with these issues. As we saw from the guy who got arrested last week, there is a culture there, and don't let the people try to tell you there wasn't a culture there, because they're getting away with it, and they've gotten away with it for so long they don't even recognize the culture. And then you have this clown, Art Browse, come out yesterday talking like, yeah, my phone will be ringing in October, November. What year are you talking about, dude? Are you out of your freaking mind? And I don't even know what he did yet. I know he did something, because otherwise he would have put up a much bigger fight over keeping his job than he did.
Yeah, and what I think people don't realize, it takes money to send somebody to Waco to do that for months and not get a return for it right away. And I think it's admirable that they're actually doing that, because not a lot of people can do it anymore. Joel, do you have anything for Jerome? Because I've just totally hijacked this
talking
journalism.
No, but I'm with you guys because of the fact that I feel for you guys from the standpoint of print media, but I also see it in television news, and I see it going over to television as well. And Jerome, to your point, I mean, look, more people are worried about getting credit for and sensationalizing what's going on with their phones, because they're all built-in reporters now. But now you're seeing even TV news, especially from a local perspective, and I have a stake in the game, obviously, with my wife, but you see it, and they're expecting the reporter to not worry about getting the story and talking to the people as much as they want them to shoot it. They want them to edit it. They want them to put it out there. And they're just streamlining everything. And then when you get down to it, just like you guys were talking about, from a budget perspective, they used to send 2 and 3 reporters to cover big stories and or to get any story when there is something there of substance. And now they're relying on people with their telephones and asking them to send in the iPhone video of it and or sending one reporter with their own sticks and their own camera and saying, hey, get out there, get all you can, try and talk to some people that have already covered it, get what you know, put the notes together, edit it together, and give us a little package on it. That's what's happening, and it, you're seeing local news slip away too, and it's sad.
Yeah, and that, and it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy too, in that the public starts losing or has started losing, and some of them have completely lost confidence in the media because you know, like to stick with the Baylor thing. Why haven't all of these victims who were going through all of this mistreatment and being, you know, pushed aside by the athletic department, by the counselors on campus there, why didn't they go to the media? Because they don't have confidence in the media anymore. You know, you don't even get good whistleblowers anymore because that's just the world that we live in, and it's really sad. And we'll be coming up on a spot in this world where, you know, corruption will increase. I mean, corruption has always been there, but generally they had to actually be sneaky. Now they don't even have to be as sneaky anymore because they're not as afraid of the media as they should be.
Because the system is slipping, and therefore Big Brother wins, and they're buying off people left and right, and the corruption continues.
Indeed.
If you haven't watched, if you haven't seen Spotlight yet, you guys should go watch that. Just everybody. I know Jerome has, so.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Everybody out there needs to go watch that movie.
And I worked at that paper. I got there right after that story had broke, and I could feel the angst around town and how the Globe was treated by the Irish Catholic community there. It was upset with them for doing the story. And that's what true journalism is. It's like, this is the story. These are the people that were wronged. These are the people that wronged them. I don't care if it's not popular. I don't care if it pisses people off. I don't care if advertisers pull money out. Important stories must be told. And we're at a place now where, you know, now all of a sudden the guy that owns the Boston Red Sox owns the Boston Globe. You think he's going to get you think they slam him like I would slam Bob McNair or Les Alexander or anybody? No. And you think I would slam Bob McNair like I do on occasion if he owned the Chronicle? Probably not.
No. I'm speaking from experience, and I'm right there with you that Big Brother is going to make sure that you follow protocol when you have certain people sponsoring you. Let's put it that way.
Hey, I'm not for sale, but you know, on the 1st and 15th, I can be rented, though. Long-term rental, but it's...
Fred, you guys were talking about it the other day, even with play-by-play guys. When sports guys want true sports journalism as play-by-play guys, then you've got to get independent contractors that don't have a connection, because every connection and whoever's signing your paychecks are going to get you into wee mode real quick or protective mode that you're not going to say what you actually see and feel.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead, Jerome.
And certainly one of the things that universities are doing, and specifically in the sports and professional teams, they're producing so much of their own content now. And it's a wise thing. I'm not dogging them for doing it. It's a smart thing that they're confusing the consumer, and people think, well, that's news, and this is the inside story, and it's just not. And I know Fred probably wanted to talk about the first week of the Texans camp and what I thought about it. Well, I was on vacation the first week, so all I got to do was just read all of the stories. And my goodness, they're going 16-0. They don't have a flaw on the team, and everybody is great, and everybody brings something that they haven't brought, and on and on and on. And I know they're not that darn good. I know they're not that special. But if you have only read the stories about the Texans and saw the stories from the, you know, the TV news about the Texans locally, you would think there's not a problem. They've got so much depth and so much talent and so much speed and blah, blah, blah. It's disgusting. And maybe they will win them all.
No.
I doubt it.
No. All right, Jerome, man. Appreciate the time as always. Didn't mean to totally hijack this, but it just it's a good topic, and you're one of the few people that can actually, you know, speak to it with some expertise since you're still doing it. So,
all right, man. Y'all have a good one.
All right, take care. Show. All right, bud. Quick break. We'll be back with the gym of the day. Mark wants to know, what are the odds I witness parking lot fornication when I go to the Ralph for the Bills home opener? 65%. If you were going to the Preakness Stakes, I could guarantee you would be 100%. That was my first experience at that race many years ago. A friend of mine, John Scheinman, who's been on our show many times before horse races, came to the press box. I came in, walked in for the first time. He's introducing me to everybody. And I'm looking out in the infield and seeing how wild it is. He goes, here's my binoculars. I bet you $10 right now, within 15 seconds, you'll see somebody having sex. I owed him 10 bucks.
Wow.
It took like 5 seconds, and there were a lot of people.
So that's the dirtier version of the Derby?
Yes, very much so. And that particular couple was pretty dirty. Anyway, quick break. We'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.com Studios in Houston, Texas. Deep South Barrels presents What Are the Odds Wednesday? This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. A.J.'s off today. I'll be back tomorrow. Joe Blank filling in. Join us for round three of Open Call for Rock the Mic Friday at the Wingstop on Beechnut and Hillcroft. We will broadcast live beginning at 4, but you can stop in any time before 7. See if you have what it takes to get to the finals. You've only got two chances left this week at Wingstop and next week at Two-A-Days in Pearland. And that is it. We have four finalists already in, and including a female finalist. So who are the winners again? Holly and who was the other one? Todd?
Yes.
All right. See? I got the names on the first try.
Yes, you did. So you something resonated.
Yeah, well,
I know you don't want to hear this. Australia, which was a 250-1 odds to win the gold, is beating the United States at halftime 54-49 in men's basketball. I said men's basketball.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to last, but
we'll see.
There you go. There are apparently Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, a combined 4 of 17 shooting.
A who's who plethora for NBA has-beens. Patty Mills leading Australia, followed by Andrew Bogut and ex-Rocket David Anderson.
Hmm.
I knew that.
Yeah, Bogut and Mills are still players. Anderson's a has-been. But
I don't know if they're... I think Mills can play, but players? Bogut?
They were still... I mean, when he got hurt, that...
I agree. From a defensive perspective, he was a big difference in that series going the other way. But I think Bogut, after that horrific injury... He's on one end of the floor.
All right, we have to do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Have you ever missed a flight or and just enough where you saw it pulling away when you came running to the gate?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there
before.
We've
all been there.
It's not fun.
No.
Well... there's some people who are a little more committed than people like you and me.
Mm-hmm.
A passenger was trying to catch a Ryanair flight on Friday to the Canary Islands from Madrid in Spain. That's a pretty good haul, right? So you don't want to miss that flight.
Right.
Apparently, he had both of his carry-on bags. He jumped off the already detached jetway onto the tarmac, then bolts down the runway toward the plane.
You have video of this.
I do have video of this, but, you know, it's a radio show, so it doesn't
obviously, work. It's the theater of the mind. But, yeah, I saw it, and I couldn't believe it. But maybe taking Ryanair was the first.
What do mimes have to do with this, by the way? That theater of the mind.
Theater of the mind. Yeah. So in radio, you're the theater of the mind. You're painting the mental picture because people can't see it.
I thought you said mime.
No, mind.
That's why I was going to go silent on you.
Yeah, no. Uh-uh.
Anyway, he broke through a fire escape. The doors opened, and he got out that way. But... guess what? They eventually let him on board, despite the fact that he set off airport alarms, which alerted the airport civil guard after breaking through the fire escape. You can find the video online, but he skipped several security protocols.
That's it.
Everything
screams, let him on the plane.
Well, yeah, but they detained him once he reached the Canary Islands. What good does that do? By the time you get there, hey, the plane's fine. But, apparently, that's a security breach, and as such, is the responsibility of the Madrid Airport Police. A spokesman for the Madrid airport said the man had no terrorist motivations and was never suspected of being a terrorist. It sounds like a drunk guy who...
Like the guy tried to get in the cockpit last week or whatever on that other plane, yeah. And the captain took him down.
Yeah, I love airplane stories. I don't know why. But anyway, that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Junk.
Live betting available, by the way, in the second half of that U.S. game. LFA, y'all sleeping on Australia. Chris, what are the odds of Marcus Cousins going to foul out of the game? I guess we need to change this back from CNN to the Olympic basketball. Can we do that, John?
It's not changed?
No.
Okay. All right.
No. Well, it was on CNN because we were watching the guy climbing.
Spidey.
Yeah. Liebeschock says, Derby equals cocktail party, Preakness equals kegger, Belmont equals after hours lounge. Yeah, that's about right. Shock would know. He knows.
Saw that, yeah.
He knows I'm telling the truth about the Preakness, too. He's a Baltimore guy. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. One more hour to go. Boy, this is going by fast. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Take it slow. Wait for them to ask you.